Father, it is such a privilege to be here this morning, and it is a privilege to be able to open your word. It is a privilege to be able to experience more of you. And so, Father, we just ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would take each of us where we are at this morning and lead us further in our walk with you. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are created in the image of God. Yes? And we are created to be in relationship. The title of the message is Knowing God, which is a very big topic. So we're just going to scratch the surface this morning. Knowing God. You know, we live in a very high-tech society, and technology has been great. We've made lots of technological advances, which has helped with health, it's helped with travel, it's helped with access to information. Yet we are still created for relationship. Technology only goes so far. A recent example of this is that a few months ago, I had several emails from IRD saying that I owed them money, which is never an email that you want to receive. And Sean and I both didn't understand the email, which doesn't say much coming from me, but it says a lot coming from Sean because he is a financial guru. So I emailed back and I asked, what is it about? I don't understand. And then I got this automated response saying, due to COVID delays, it may take up to 14 days to respond to your email. I tried the phone lines, the wait times were hours long, so I didn't even bother any further with that. Within those 14 days, I got another email saying, if you do not commence payments, you will start to be charged interest. So I fired off another email, automated response straight back, and the pattern went on and on. All I wanted to know was why I was being charged this, or being made to pay this money, considering I'm employed by the Ministry of Education, I'm on a salary, I've never had this issue before. I just needed to talk to a person to see what it was about. Eventually, I did get an email back, but what it said made no sense, and Sean read it through, and he's like, that's completely wrong. That's not correct at all. So I went back to the phone line, went back to the emails, automated response saying, la, 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 la. And it went on and on and on. Weeks later, a lovely man from IRD phoned me and explained that, yes, the email previously sent was wrong. That had nothing to do with why I owed money. But it was due to being employed by the Ministry of Education. Plus, back in 2021, I had that 1 week where my maternity pay and being employed by the ministry overlapped, so I had to pay secondary tax. It made sense. So once they explained it to me, it made sense. But it took a conversation with an actual person who understood the situation to get there. Technology only goes so far. We are created to be in personal relationships, and that includes personal knowing of God the Father. Personal knowing of God the Father. So if the good news, the gospel, the New Testament can be brought down to several key concepts. One of those key concepts would be to know God. To know God, to know him personally, not just know about him, but to know him personally. And I think if we ask Jesus why he came, it would be to bring us back to the Father, to know the Father through him. Got some verses up there if we can start going through them. In Philippians 3 verse 10, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. 1 John 4 verse 8 says, though the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. John 16 verse 3, these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. Colossians 1 verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge in the knowledge of God. 2 Peter 1 verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 1 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. John 17 verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And there are many, many, many more throughout the Gospels. One of the central teachings of the Gospel is to know God, to know Him personally. Jesus came to make the Father known. And we can know the Father because we can know Jesus. You know, in John 5, verse 19, it says, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because what the Father does, the Son also does." We can have a personal knowing of God the Father through having a personal knowing of Jesus, His Son. What Jesus had to say here on earth is what God has to say. How He spoke, who He interacted with, how He did life, that is what God has to say. Jesus came and He died so that we may know the Father, and that is a gift that we may know the Father. You know, I spoke a few weeks ago about faith being a gift. A personal knowing of God is also a gift, and this is exactly what our faith is about. Knowing God, believing God, trusting God, it's a gift. It's all a gift. Because that's how we then anchor our faith in what we know, in that personal knowing. When Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." That's not because of our faith or what we conjure up ourselves. It's because of whom your faith is in. It's about God. And that's why Jesus used the smallest thing, a mustard seed, to describe it. Because it's not about us. The faith is just the instrument. God is the miracle God, and having a personal knowing of God is our gift, is a gift to us. So let's look into this personal knowing of God. You know, of all people to have a personal knowing of God, you would think it would be the disciples. They spent so much time with Jesus, living life with Jesus, you would think they would have had the most personal knowing of God. But they had an extremely revealing conversation with Jesus about this, if we pick it up in John 14, verse 5. Is that up there? Yep. Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where You are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you really know Me, you will know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and you have seen Him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know Me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words I say to you do not speak on My own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in Me who is doing His work. Believe Me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in My name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask Me for anything in My name, and I will do it." This was Philip asking the question. He had been around Jesus continuously, performing miracles with Jesus, healing the sick with Jesus, sitting under the teachings of Jesus, eating, living, breathing with Jesus. And yet Jesus says to him, "Don't you know Me, Philip? Don't you know who I am is who the Father is?" You know, Jesus knows that Philip knows Him. But what He is asking Philip is, "Do you not have a personal knowing of Me? Don't you know Me, Philip?" You know, we can all be going around doing the right Christian living. We can be going to church, going to connect groups, reading our Bible, attending connect groups, all of that stuff, yet still not know God. We can know about God, but we can still not know God. You know, reading the Bible, listening to sermons, it can shine light to who God is, but we also need to have that personal knowing. Now, on the flip side, I've heard some people say, I don't enjoy going to church and I find the Bible really confusing, but I have a personal relationship with God, so it's all good. Simple answer, no, it's not. You can have an informational knowing without having a personal knowing, but you cannot have a personal knowing without an informational knowing. Think about it this way. When we have a friendship break at church like we just have, it's often informational. It's often surface level. But moving beyond that and inviting someone into your home and having lunch with them, sharing a meal with them, opening up conversations that leave you a little bit honest and a little bit open and a little bit vulnerable, that's when you get to the personal level. But we don't just jump straight in there. You know, I wouldn't tell the person at the checkout what I tell my close circle. Sean sees me at my most vulnerable and surprisingly and graciously still loves me. But we didn't start there. You know, we started at a very informative level and we've moved into more of a personal level. But even now, years later, we are still learning things about each other at an informative level, and we still go through what happened in his day or what happened in my day. That's still an informative level, but we also have that personal knowing. So it's not just about starting at an informative level and moving to only a personal, but it's starting at an informative level and going to both personal and both informative. Knowing God starts with informative knowing, but then it needs to become both informative and personal knowing. A personal knowing must be wrapped up within informative knowing. So simple answer, no. You can't say that because you have a personal knowing of God, you therefore don't need to go to church, read the word, and all of that. It's both. You can know the Bible without knowing God, but you can't know God without knowing the Bible. So personal knowing, how do we get there? How do we create it? It comes through intimate time spent with God. Setting that time aside that is just your quiet place. It's in prayer, it's in worship, it's in contemplation, it's being out in creation. It's in the word, it's through revelation. The list goes on. That's all ways that we can create that personal knowing with God. And it should be at the top of our list. Always. The top of our list should be to know God. God wants to be known. He says, seek me with all your heart and you will find me. He wants to be known. But when we pray, we often come to God with our own agendas. We often come with we're wanting success or breakthrough in a certain area, or we're wanting blessing, or we're wanting joy, or we're wanting personal things. But if we look at the great prayers in the Bible, they're all about knowing God. Knowing God. We need to be praying to know God more. Paul in Ephesians 1 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's his prayer. He's wanting them to know God better. And then again in Ephesians 3, he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Personal knowing is everything. It is everything, and it is what we need to be praying for. Leave those agendas behind. Leave the praying for blessing behind and just say, God, I need to know you more. Reveal more of yourself towards me. Take me deeper in my knowing of who you are. Think about it this way. When a baby is born, who is the first person or people that they know? Their mum and dad. They don't know who they are. But I'm always amazed, you know, when every child of mine has been born and they may be held by my mum, who I think is the fountain of all motherly wisdom, and yet they cry for her and then she passes them back to me, who has no idea what I'm doing at all, and they stop crying because they know who I am. Later down the track, they then start discovering their hands and realizing that they're attached to their body. Further down the track, they look into a mirror and they can see their reflection, and they then soon realize that that reflection is themselves looking back at them. But when they're first born, they don't know who they are. And it's the same for us. Before we can understand ourselves, we must first know our Father. We must first know our Father. And this is what will bring sense to this world. That will bring sense. Nothing will make sense until you know Jesus, until you know your Father. You know, personal knowing of God will unravel a lot of confusion in this life, because we have a lot of questions, don't we? We have a lot of questions. Why are there wars going on? Why is there good and evil? Why is there a breakdown in that relationship? Why have they just been diagnosed with a terminal illness? We have questions no matter how long we have been walking with Jesus. We always have questions, and some things don't make sense, and some things we will not fully understand until eternity. But what can help, what brings some perspective, an eternal perspective, is to know our Father. Not just to know about him, but to know him. The Bible is an incredible source of wisdom, and listening to sermons or podcasts are a good source of wisdom. But nothing will speak to you, nothing will teach you, nothing will change in you until you first know your Father, until you first personally know him. Because many of the questions we ask are actually intellectual questions. I want to know why God allows good versus evil. Why did he allow that family member to go through that? You know, a friend of ours the other day, who's just beginning to explore what Christianity is all about, said, well, what about the people who haven't heard about Jesus, or the children in Africa? What will happen to them when they die? Or how will Christianity change my life? Will it change who I vote for? Will it suffocate my fun? They ask all these questions. And that's healthy and that's good. But the gospel, the New Testament, is pretty clear. None of that will make sense until you first answer this question: who do you say I am? What do you make of him? Because Christianity is not a philosophy where you first answer the questions. Christianity is about a person. So we first go to the person. We come to Jesus first. We have a personal relationship, a personal knowing of him first. And then the other things will begin to make a little bit more sense. You know, think about it again in the terms of a marriage. There are a lot of things in marriage that you deal with. Sorting out finances, deciding on where kids are going to go to school, dealing with kids' behaviors, planning for retirement. There's lots of things that you do within a marriage, right? But you don't go into any, if you just go into those things without having a personal relationship in the marriage, it will be messy. It will be messy. The personal knowing, the understanding of each other, being one in unity together, that is what's then going to help the practical stuff make sense. If Sean and I only ever talked about the practical, the logistical things, you know, we could keep a guarded heart from each other. That's possible. But to be personal, to be honest, to genuinely know each other, we must be vulnerable. And being vulnerable means opening your heart up to others and especially to God. Listen to this quote from C.S. Lewis. He was speaking of the heart. He said, "If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it up carefully, round it round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, earless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable." We don't want our hearts to be like that. We want our hearts to be open, to be honest, to be vulnerable. And part of personally knowing God must mean that we are open, that we are honest, that we are vulnerable with Him. You know, we come to Him with this complete and this utter humility. And when we do this, it's a beautiful thing. That coming in humility, coming with this open vulnerability, that is a beautiful thing. Because then we experience the goodness and the grace of our Father. That's when we experience that personal knowing rather than just knowing about Him. And dare I say, if more Christians knew God personally and intimately rather than just knowing about Him, I think what others would see would be more beautiful. You know, this last week, Sean caught up with someone who shared a story with him about a couple that he has been mentoring. And of this couple, the guy has grown up in church. His parents go to church. So he knows what church is about. He's been around a lot of Christians. His wife was not a Christian. And Sean's friend has mentored them for the last so long, I don't know how long, and he's been walking them through the Gospel of Mark. When they got to the end of it, the young guy said, "Is this who Jesus is? That is something, someone that I want to know, but it's not what I've seen in the Christians around me." Interesting comment. Very sad, but unfortunately, probably true in some cases. If people truly knew God personally, intimately, and didn't just know about God, you know, going about our Christian life and doing things right, then perhaps the beauty of who God is would be revealed. And Jesus wouldn't need to say to us, "Do you know me, Philip? Do you know me, Ruth?" Perhaps if we start from a place of saying in our prayers, "God, I want to know you more personally. I want to know you more intimately. Reveal more of yourself towards me." Maybe then in our interactions with others, they would see more of this beauty of who Jesus is. And that is more attracting. So the encouragement, the challenge to us all is to take our knowing deeper. Because no matter how long we've been walking with Jesus, we can always go deeper. Take our knowing deeper and make it more personal by spending that time with Him in prayer, in His presence, listening to worship, contemplating, just being in His presence, surrounding and fully immersing in ourselves in the full revelation of who God is through Jesus. We can know the Father because we can know Jesus. And that is a gift. So we need to open that gift.